18. Try to add to it. Jokic inside, spins and lays it in up close. It's turning into a, right now, a little bit of a blowout.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Marcus Howard is one thing he can do. He can fill it up as he hits the three, the all-time leading scorer for Marquette. Nuggets from the late part of the first quarter on, just dominating here tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
136-100 final tonight in maybe the worst performance by the Bucks so far this season. Certainly the ugliest loss outside of Miami, the second game of the regular season. But that was a game that you came into not really knowing what the status was with Brook Lopez. We knew he was out. We knew all of a sudden he appeared on the injury report. Of course, we have not seen him. That was the first of every other game that he had missed. And that came after an emotional opening night ring ceremony victory over the Brooklyn Nets, still very early in the season. Tonight was not that. Tonight was right in the middle of a three-game homestand. Tonight was another night where you had what has basically become the new starting lineup for the Bucks. You had Drew, Chris, and Giannis, so the fifth time in 24 games this season that they've lost with that trio on the floor. And you played a Denver Nuggets team that, for all the injuries we talk about with the Bucks, Denver is going through the same thing. And as you look at the Nuggets, what stands out most is it's Nikola Jokic carrying this team across the finish line. Aaron Gordon was great tonight. Aaron Gordon is certainly a nice player, but still without Jamal Murray, still without Michael Porter Jr., the injuries continuing to pile up. Boogie Cousins, who just joined this team at a 10-day contract, did not play tonight with foot soreness. And our old friend Bryn Forbes hit some big shots. But you looked at the disparity between talent here on these two teams. And this is maybe the most disappointing loss of the season for the Bucks. They are dominated by the Denver Nuggets, 136-100. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. If you want to join in on the program on Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices, there's a lot to dive into tonight. I want to specifically point out some of the Bucks records here by month, not only this season but the last couple of seasons and what stands out there. But in the month of January, a few things stood out, especially rebounding. We'll get to those numbers in a moment. 855-616-1620 is that number to get in touch with us. Let's head out to the phone lines here, start the show in Port Washington, and talk to our friend Dick. You're on Bucks Talk.
Hey, how you doing? First question I'd like you to research is how many teams have won the championship if they weren't in one or two positions in their division? But my bigger point is, and I think this is a league problem, not just in Milwaukee, you know, people go to the game and drop, I bet, a minimum of $300. And, you know, tonight we're up, blown out by 36. Minnesota's beaten Utah by pretty much the same. I don't understand this. You look at the Bucks, they just weren't into it. All the games they've lost this week where they've been blown out, it's the same thing. Now, they come back and play well against certain teams. But I think the NBA somehow has got to put more emphasis on the regular season. You know, it used to be, I mean, I'm 71. Years ago, these games would mean something during the regular season. Now, and this is proven to me last year because, as you know, I would call in and complain, we're not playing well, and they won the championship. Something's got to be done to make the regular season more important than it is. I just don't understand how you can have these blowouts and then come back and play well against regular teams. And you know, and I said this too, you know, we don't play well against the mediocre teams. Denver's not a mediocre team. Nope. We should have played a lot better. I mean, it's getting frustrating. I go to these games, you know. I sat through that Knicks game earlier in the year where we had a 26-point lead, and we lose by 20. You know, yeah. What the heck? What's going on?
I mean, the only way you can add more significance to the regular season is, I mean, we got a small taste of it last year, and there were 72 games instead of 82. I mean, the only way that you can add any more significance and importance is to reduce some of the regular season games. I think overwhelmingly, from those that cover the league and maybe work in the league as well, they would tell you, hey, I'm in favor of that. Owners and team personnel would not be in favor of that because of the TV contracts and everything else associated with it. So I don't think that would happen. But short of that, I don't have a good answer for you in what you can do, because it's very clear. It's not just this year, and it's not just the Bucks. To your point, too, like the Utah Jazz are a couple of minutes away from going 4-12 in the month of January. I don't think anybody would say the Jazz are a 4-12 team. The Bucks go 7-8 in January. They're not a below 500 team. But when you look at the Eastern Conference right now, the Philadelphia 76ers have made it up to third in the East, because the Sixers and Cavs have basically been the only two teams that have been good in the month of January. The Bucks 7-8, as we mentioned. The Brooklyn Nets have been even worse. All of those teams near the top of the conference have not played well. And part of that, I'm sure, is the All-Star break is 2.5-3 weeks away. Coach Bud was asked about that after the game as well. Every single team is dealing with that. So he's not going to use that as an excuse, and nor do I think he should. That there's clearly more to what we've seen recently than just the All-Star break. But when you look through this conference, in the month of January, if we look at 1 through 6 in the East, the Nets go 6-10. The Bucks go 7-8. The Bulls are 8-8 now after their win tonight. 7-8, and the Heat go 9-5. So the Heat were pretty good, but not great. It was 11-3 from the Sixers, 10-3 from the Cavs. Those are the two teams that made the biggest jump. And then all of the teams in that play-in mix have won 9 or more games. It's been the really good teams that have struggled this month, and how much of that is malaise, I'm not sure. I know it's something that Commissioner Adam Silver is going to continue to tinker with and look into. How can we add more significance, if not to the regular season as a whole, to this part of the schedule? I know they've floated out a December type of mid-season tournament. Honestly, it's got to be right around this time if you're going to do something mid-January. Try to avoid football mid to late January. You're still going to run into, obviously, the playoffs, but you would avoid bowl season. That's another big deterrent, and that takes away a lot of eyeballs for people that are invested in the NBA. But just it's clear, and it's not the Bucks. It's not the Nets. It's not the Jazz. It's almost every team, especially in the East. Even in the West, as we mentioned, Jazz are staring at 4-12 this month. The Warriors have been 10-6 in the month of January. You're seeing all of this type of play from most of the really good teams, because this is the toughest part of the schedule to get up for. And I think one thing we've talked about over and over, and Dick, you mentioned it too, the Bucks have dominated really bad teams this season, but what you kept pointing to with confidence was what they did against the best teams in the league, or at least really good teams. Now, if we just look at the best teams, they're still playing pretty well against those teams. But teams that are 1-4 or 5 in their conferences, the top 10 overall teams, we've seen the Bucks take a big hit there the last couple of weeks. You can't necessarily say, well, at least they get up for big teams anymore, because in this week alone, they've had two really ugly, bad losses to two pretty good teams. Tonight, the Denver Nuggets, and of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers the other night. So, look, I think you just want to get out of the month of January and leave that behind you, because there's a lot of disturbing trends that popped up in this month of January. You do take solace, I guess, in what we just ran through with how other teams played in the month of January, but it's kind of, which side do you choose? Is the glass half empty, or is the glass half full? Do you look at it and say, well, at least most of the conference and most of those teams right up there where we are, at least they struggled too? Or do you look at that and say, this was our chance? The schedule gets very difficult in the month of March. This was our chance. When we look at Chicago going 7-8 and dealing with injuries, we look at Brooklyn starting to deal with injuries as well, and they go 6-10. You look at Miami play 9-5, just slightly above 500. man, this was really our chance to do something and add some separation, and we let that slip by. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Mentioned you just want to get behind the month of January. Leave it in the rearview mirror. There's a reason for that. Not just the 7-8 record, but a couple of other numbers that really stood out. We'll share those with you after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
From the left wing, fires up a three, and he drills it. Giannis Antetokounmpo, how about 20 now in the half for the Bucks, who trail by 7.
22-point half for Giannis, but finishes the game with just 29 points. So again, second half, the issues, 2 of 8 from the field for Giannis. And overall, here's the biggest problem that the Bucks had. One, the defense. Michael Malone alluded to this before the game, and we've really started to see this pop up in the last couple of weeks, especially in the month of January. But the Bucks' three-point defense has started to get a little wobbly. Early in the season and really up until mid-Jan, it wasn't an issue. The Bucks were actually one of the better teams defending the three-point shot. And I understand a lot of that has to do with luck and shooting variances, but it was nowhere near what we saw last year, where teams were getting a high volume and they were shooting close to 40% on threes. That started to happen again in the last couple of games, and it certainly happened tonight, where the Denver Nuggets just went on one tonight. 23 of 43 on their threes. Michael Malone said before the game, look, we know when you play the Bucks, you're going to get a lot of three-point looks. Giannis has done a good job of replacing some of what Brook Lopez does as the rim protector. Jrue Holiday, as Michael Malone put it, their defense is good for a couple of reasons. Even without Brook Lopez, Giannis can protect the rim. Giannis cleans up a lot of stuff, but defense starts at the point of attack. And Jrue Holiday is one of the best in the league at playing the ball and defending the ball handler. Then you have guys like Chris Middleton, who have just been with this team. They know their role. They know how to fit into that system. Bobby Portis is another guy. It's a second year here. He knows how to fill that void and play his role. They have a lot of really good team defenders. And when you put that in between Jrue Holiday getting the initial point of attack defense and Giannis cleaning it up, that makes a good defense. All that being said, we know we're going to get a lot of chances to shoot threes. That's how this team does it. You're going to generate some decent looks, but you got to really get good looks. You'll get a high volume of chances, but as Michael Malone said, we have to make sure we're getting quality looks, and when you get them, you got to hit them because the Bucks will give you those opportunities, and that's exactly what we saw unfold tonight. The Nuggets got good looks. Nikola Jokic was able to find the open man. And as you went back, and as you probably saw it happen in real time, you saw it happen whenever you watched any highlights from this game, Nikola Jokic, and I understand this is how he plays, but it was really jarring when you saw how many shots the Nuggets were hitting. Nikola Jokic was looking to make a play each time he caught the ball. He wasn't looking to initiate offense and score. He was looking for an open man. And that really seemed to just throw the Bucks. They waited and hesitated to double-team Jokic. At times they did it. When they did, it took too long, and he was already comfortable in finding his open man. You just didn't make Jokic feel uncomfortable or rush him, and it seemed like the Nuggets just had all the time in the world. It was the equivalent to basically, in the football world, playing a team with no pass rush, where you can just sit back there under center. Nobody is pressuring you. You got all day to wait for one of your receivers to break open. The Bucks are undersized as it is. Bobby Portis on Nikola Jokic is not going to be a great defensive matchup for the Bucks, and that's what we saw a lot. We saw Wesley Matthews having to be the backup big that played on Jokic for extended periods as well. When you do that, and you don't help out with a double team immediately, Nikola Jokic has all day and can find the open man, and that's what we saw throughout this game. 9 assists led to three-pointers for Jokic. 15 assists in all. 9 of them were on three-pointers, and the Nuggets hit 23 threes. Their offense just running circles around the Bucks here, especially in the second half and third quarter, where the wheels really fell off for the Bucks. So that third quarter continues to be a problem quarter for the Bucks. Some more numbers on that in just a moment. But the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620. That number, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. We heard from Dick at the top of the show that Dick called in after the Cavs game, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it seemed as though it was disappointing loss. But look, it's the regular season. I understand how this works and how things went last year. I'll be concerned once we get to March and this team is playing like this. I am still in that category of, am I concerned? No. Have I maybe raised an eyebrow? Sure. If we get to mid-February, if we get out of the All-Star break and this team is continuing to play like this and no real consistency, the turnovers, points off of turnovers, another big category, three straight opponents have scored 20 or more points off of turnovers against this team. If that continues for the next couple of weeks, then it's fair to be concerned. I think we should all raise an eyebrow and say, okay, we can't have this much longer. I get a tough stretch of the schedule. Everything we just talked about at the top of the show of these are the dog days. This is your equivalent to late July and August in the Major League Baseball season. That's where we are in the NBA calendar. It's not time to panic yet, but there are quite a few things happening that we do need to start to see turning around here. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Rebounding is maybe the biggest, and look, I don't know realistically what you can expect in terms of improvements on the glass. In the month of January, the Bucks had a 49.5 rebounding percentage. So rebounding percentage is just as it sounds. 49.5% of available rebounds the Bucks got. In other words, their opponent out-rebounded them for the month of January. Defensive rebounding rate for the Bucks in January was 72.4. This is a Bucks team that was 80%, high 70s the last couple of years. And granted, when you got Brooke Lopez and Giannis and PJ Tucker and what he did, especially on the offensive glass, when you have those guys, you're a pretty good rebounding team. It's been a different story this season, and we're seeing Brooke Lopez changes a lot. We had this discussion as soon as Brooke Lopez arrived and talked about the impact he was making on the glass, and the Bucks are such a good rebounding team. Brooke Lopez has a lot to do with that. And I think people that maybe weren't familiar with Brooke Lopez or just getting familiar with him, you looked at some of the numbers and said, how can that be? He's a 7-footer that's averaging 6 rebounds a game. How can you sit here and tell me he makes such an impact on the glass? But then you started to watch the game more, and you started to see some of the things he would do. You would see Giannis's rebounding numbers start to rise, playing next to Brooke Lopez, the job he does, boxing out and creating those rebounding opportunities. And now you see not only the month of January, but you see this season as a whole. 51 games that you've now played without Brooke Lopez, and you see some of those numbers. 72% rebounding rate on the defensive glass for the Bucks in the month of January. Again, well below what this team has done in seasons past. It's in the middle of the pack in the NBA. That's 16th in the month of January. And their offensive rebounding work, never great under Coach Budenholzer. We saw it come up a little more last year, but that's another one. 25%. 25% of the offensive rebounds the Bucks getting. That is 26th in the league. They have been absolutely brutal on the glass in the month of January. And again, second chance points, points off of turnovers. Those are all areas we have seen the opponent come in and dominate them. They're essentially in the bottom 10 in all of those defensive, not defensive, in all of those rebounding metrics in the month of January. That's just as big a reason as any for the 7-8 record in those 15 games. But look, turnovers you can point to, and you can say, we got to clean that up. We got to limit the transition baskets. We got to limit what the opponent is doing in transition and second chance points and points off of turnovers. You can play a role in slowing that down. Save for making a move, I don't know what we can expect in terms of improvement on the glass for this team until Brook Lopez returns or until some of the reinforcements start to arrive, either via trade or in the buyout market. But that really struck me when you looked at some of the numbers the Bucks put up in those 15 games played in January. Again, theme of the night is let's all move on to February and get this month behind us, because it was a very uncharacteristic month for the Bucks under coach Mike Budenholzer. Just how uncharacteristic was this month in terms of the way the Bucks played and their record? We got some numbers to share with you after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Sent in by Middleton, the holiday. Holidays at the top of the arc. Beats it off to Middleton. Middleton right of the lane. He's trailed by Jokic. Feathers the pass into the corner. Catch and shoot three from Pat Connaughton, who delivers from the near corner left.
Pat Connaughton with one of the 10 Bucks three-pointers on the night. And, I mean, look, that's a shot that Pat Connaughton has worked on. That one specifically. You see Joe Ingles do this a lot, where you catch the ball high, you don't bring it down, you just catch and shoot immediately. That's something we've seen him work on. But for as much as we've heard opponents talk in recent games here about, hey, the Bucks have a lot of shooting, Michael Malone, just as we said, one of his points of emphasis before this game was, we know the Bucks will give us a lot of three-point looks, we got to hit those. We heard him talk at length about the shooting the Bucks have and three-point shooting that they have surrounding Giannis. That makes them difficult to defend. J.B. Bickerstaff of the Cavs said the same thing. We heard Tom Thibodeau saying the same thing on Friday night as well. It's true. The Bucks do have those shooters. But again, in the month of January, the shooting just has not been there for the Bucks. We've seen guys go into prolonged slumps. We saw Grayson Allen dealing with one. Granted, that was due to the flu, and he was in health and safety protocols. It seemed just as he was getting back and getting into the swing of things, then he missed that game. And it's been a little bit of work for Grayson Allen to get there. Bobby Portis, though, is, again, with no Brook Lopez. Bobby Portis, his importance to this team is magnified with no Brook Lopez. And Bobby Portis is shooting. We've seen him deal with a little bit of a slump in the month of January. That's something that really needs to turn around for this Bucks offense. They shot 36% in the month of January here. 36% that they're shooting, I should say, in the season from three-point land. That's in the top 10. But we've seen prolonged slumps now from guys like Grayson Allen, like Bobby Portis especially, who, again, wasn't his worst night that he had tonight. But you needed a little more from Bobby Portis, especially from the outside there. So you just keep pointing to, look, can we forget about what happened in January and just move forward here? Slightly below their season average for shooting percentage attempts and makes from three-pointer in the month of January here were the Bucks. But that's the theme from the night, from the month, from the last couple of weeks. Put this month in the rearview mirror and move on to February, and hopefully we don't see some of these things start to pop up more and more in January. Still some time to get in touch with us on the program, 855-616-1620, the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. 7-8 in the month of January here. It is the second time this season they've had a losing record in a month. 3-4 in the month of October. We point that out because losing records for a month have been very rare under coach Mike Budenholzer. They went 3-5, and all of those were bubble games in the July and August portion, the final month, if you will, of the regular season back in 2020. And they went 2-4 in the month of March. So we're talking about 6-8 games. We mentioned 3-4 that they went in October, 7-game sample that you're talking about. 2-3 last year when the season opened in the end of December. 5-game sample size. Nothing to really have a lot of takeaways from. But in terms of full months, this is the first time they've had a losing month under Coach Mike Budenholzer, where they've played eight games or more, I should say, and had a losing record going 7-8. In all of January, in the 3 years under Bud, they went 12-3 the first January, 11-2 the next, 9-5 last year. They lost 10 games total in January in three seasons under Bud, and this month they go 7-8. There's just something going on, not necessarily only with this team, but again, when you look at that East and you look at what every team, say, for Cleveland and Philly has done, and to a lesser extent Miami, it's just shaping up to be a weird season. I think early in the season, and again, a 3-4 October, I think early you could point to, hey, it's a team that didn't have a whole lot of off time. They played until late July. We're right back on the regular calendar here. They're getting started in early October with training camp getting going for Drew and Chris and Jordan Wara, too. You didn't even have as much off time because you were in Tokyo for the Olympics. Okay, 3-4, and then November comes. The Bucks go 10-4 in November. December, 11-5, and it really started once you got to that midpoint of November and the Bucks had that 8-game win streak. It really started to feel like, all right, now this is the team that we're going to see turn that corner. And then January comes, and it's just a loud thud where more of those inconsistencies pop up, and you're starting to hear more and more of people saying, hey, I'm not worried, but what's wrong with the Bucks? When are the Bucks going to start to run away with this division number one conference? Like, when are they going to start to separate themselves? And I think that's certainly a question that's going to remain in this upcoming month here. 10 games in February. They do start to increase with difficulty. But again, March is going to be the telling month for the Bucks. That is when everything really starts to pick up. So to me, the importance of February is working through these kinks, trying to improve on the defensive glass, because that to me has been the biggest issue. Offensive rebounding, the Bucks have never been a particularly good offensive rebounding team. Part of that is because of the way that their defense is designed. And not their defense, but part of that is just because of, well, defense partially, and also how they play, getting back down to the other end of the floor and getting set. We saw it increase a little bit last year, but that's one that you're willing to say, look, it's just not what we do. Defensive glass, though, and overall rebounding, those are things that we can control. You have the limitations without Brooke Lopez, sure. But ultimately, sometimes rebounding comes down to that will. And are you going to get that ball, or is the opponent? And we've just seen a handful of nights where it's been pretty clear the opponent is getting this. And tonight was one of those. Third quarter continues to be an issue. That's where the Nuggets really just ran away with this game. So a lot of these things starting to bubble up for the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line. Some more numbers on the third quarter and why March, we keep pointing to how it gets difficult, why that means February is going to be very important for the Bucks, and it starts Tuesday here at home against the Wizards. We'll explain after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis going to feed it to Wara. Wara's got it on the right wing. Pulls up his three-pointer. Finally, one drops. And it is a 116-93 advantage for the Nuggets.
Third quarter was the issue for the Bucks tonight. The Nuggets score 38 points. They turn what was an 8-point halftime lead into a 22-point margin moving into the fourth quarter. That was one of the best quarters any team has played this season, what Denver did in the third quarter tonight to do what they did offensively. The 38 points scored. They didn't commit their only one foul that they committed in that quarter did not come until the final few seconds of the third quarter tonight. And Denver, in that quarter, hit 6 of their 9 3-point attempts. They go 16 of 20 from the field, and they just knock this thing out of reach tonight. So that was that third quarter and three-point shooting. Two big problems for the Bucks in this month. They persisted tonight, and that really told the story of the game. How bad has the third quarter been for the Bucks this month? Coming into this game tonight, if we look at the season as a whole, the Bucks have really struggled in the third quarter. You've heard people bring it up repeatedly, but they're 24th in the league in net rating in the third quarter. -6.4. We've seen the offense drop off. The rebounding has been a big issue. Again, if we point to the rebounding percentages, 48%. 48% of available rebounds the Bucks are getting in that quarter. In the month of January, the wheels have completely fallen off. A -21.6 net rating. The only team that has played worse in the third quarter this month is the Indiana Pacers. At a -22.8 net rating. The Pacers, by the way, are 4-11 this month. That's the company the Bucks are in with how they're playing in this quarter. And around a 45% rebounding rate where they are just getting destroyed on the glass. Field goal percentage down in that quarter as well. Well below their season averages. The third quarter continuing to be the biggest issue 12-minute segment-wise for the Bucks, and especially in January where it has been amplified. And we saw that tonight with a 38-24 quarter from Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. We will take a look at the next opponent. The Washington Wizards come to town on Tuesday night. We'll preview that matchup for you after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Davon Reed with a right-hand dribble comes to a stop. He's inside to Najee. Gets good positioning again. His pass deflected, but it goes to Howard. And Marcus Howard, one thing he can do, he can fill it up as he hits the three, the all-time leading scorer for Marquette and the Big East's all-time leading scorer in league action.
A homecoming of sorts for Marcus Howard, at least returning to this floor where you heard from Dave there, really starred as a member of Marquette with the Golden Eagles. He gets in garbage time and hits some shots to finish with 9 points, but the Nuggets rout the Bucks 136-100. Either this or the performance in Game 2 against the Miami Heat, the worst loss of the season for the Bucks. Up next, the Washington Wizards come to town Tuesday night as they hopefully begin the month of February with a win. And just to round out the point on the third quarter, it's not going away. It's been there all season long that we've talked about, hey, keep an eye on the third. That seems to tell the story of the game for the Bucks. This isn't just January. In January, it's been ugly, but for the season as a whole, it's been bad. The Bucks are 24th in net rating in the quarter. If you look at the teams in the bottom 10 with how they're playing in the third quarter, and this is something that usually carries over year to year of if you're good in that quarter, you're usually a good team. Those are the teams that are making the halftime adjustments. The teams in the bottom 10 for their performance in the third quarter. The Los Angeles Lakers are 21. Lakers are not a good team. And yes, injuries have told the story there, but Lakers have essentially been a 500 team all season long. They're 24-27 right now. You got the Lakers at 21. The Pelicans, another team, not very good. They're 22nd. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 23rd. They're one of the worst teams in basketball. And then you got the Bucks at 24th. The teams beneath the Bucks, the Knicks, the Kings, the Rockets, the Pacers, Pistons, and Magic. Not great company. You can't look to that list and say, well, this team's there and this team's there. So it's not just, you know, you got some good teams that are just not playing well. The Bucks are the lone outlier right now. Unless you want to try and talk yourself into the Lakers, the Bucks are the only other team you would point to and say, hey, they're not playing very well in the third quarter, but I still think they're a good team. That's got to turn around. And we mentioned things have got to change in February because once you get to March, it is going to be pedal to the metal. You need that turnaround and everything we talked about. We need to see more consistency. You got to rebound better. You can't give up as many second chance points. You can't turn it over and lead to 20 plus points off of turnovers. It'd be great to see some more bench scoring. That's all got to sort itself out by March. In February, you start the month with the Wizards here at home. Then you get 3 days off before a West Coast trip. Portland on the road. That's a very winnable game. Blazers are not playing well. They're dealing with a magnitude of injuries. The Clippers, 1 week from tonight, on the road. Clippers have been a 500 team all season. Paul George remains out for that team. Kawhi Leonard won't be playing in that game. Then you got that Lakers team we just talked about. Anthony Davis just returned from an MCL sprain. LeBron James continuing to deal with injuries this season. That's an extremely winnable game. The only game you would point to on that West Coast swing as, hey, this is going to be tough, is the Phoenix Suns on February 10th. You got that. Those are your only road games in the month of February. A four-game Western Conference trip that begins this upcoming Saturday and wraps up on February 10th. After that, you close out the month of February with three games at home prior to the All-Star break, two games after the All-Star break. Those games, the Blazers, again, not a good team. The Pacers, not a good team. And then you got some tests, the Sixers, the Nets, and the Hornets. You got to have a strong showing in February because in March it changes. 15 games, five are at home, and you got the Bulls, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, the Nets, the Sixers, the Jazz, all on the road. We look for better things in February, and again, we will have our first February broadcast on Tuesday when the Bucks play the Washington Wizards here at Fiserv Forum and look for a fresh start to the new month. My thanks to Evan Witalison for producing the show and all of you for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you once again Tuesday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.